Welcome to the New and Living Way Church Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
The topic for today is hindrances to faith. Can we say that? Hindrances to faith. You know, prior to now, you would have thought that doubt, are we together? No side talk. We're in Sunday school. Let's be focused. We would have thought that doubt is the sole hindrance or the number one opposite of faith. Yeah, we are correct in a measure, but there are a number of hindrances, you know, to faith. Let's look at Mark chapter 11, verse 23 to 25, our anchor scripture. I believe that many of us should be able to, you know, quote it from our head. You know, it's a sign that we've been following. But let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 11, verse 23 to 25. I'll start from verse 22, you know, because of what I would say after. And Jesus answering and said unto them, what did he say? Some of us are not there. Some of us are not answering. I'll start again. Mark 11 from verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in who? In God. Okay? So verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Hallelujah. So what changes the dynamics really is who we are supposed to have faith in. Hallelujah. That's what brings the difference. If they had said, have faith in humanity, have faith in technology, have faith in yourself. You know, there's a popular mantra of motivation. Say, believe in yourself. You know, that thing is an anti-faith. Hallelujah. It's an anti-faith statement. You know, because believing in yourself means that everything you are going to be getting is at your own, by your own rule. Hallelujah. At your own condition. But when they say have faith in God, it means that the workings of faith and the result of faith must be on God's terms. So you cannot use faith in God to get what is not the will of God. Do we understand? So you cannot use faith in God against God. You are breaking a principle. Are we together? Say, have faith in God. So everything that will be a product of that faith must be something that flows from God. Because he said, without faith, it is impossible to what? To please God. So faith is supposed to be a pleasure generator. Hallelujah. So yesterday, our dear pastor, Pastor Emmanuel Kelly, was teaching us about how pleasure should be worked. That we ought to have pleasure in God, and God ought to have what? Pleasure in us. So it's a two-way thing. Hallelujah. So without faith, it is impossible, you know, to have that pleasure. So we say with all, you know, we say, you know, with God, all things are possible. But those all things, they are within the boundary. And that boundary is all things are of what? Of God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. He said, and all things are what? Are of God. Did you see that? Because I can say, with God, all things are possible. But the all things that are possible are what? All things that are of God. Hallelujah. So you cannot use faith. We've said it here before. You cannot use faith to believe God for another person's wife. Eh? You can't use faith to you go to somebody's house and, you know, you see how beautiful it is. You know, like Pastor was saying yesterday, that you go to somebody's house, their living room is bigger than your entire compound. And you are there, you say, I have faith. I believe that this house is mine. You understand? You can't use faith for that. Do we get it? So We say, with God, all things are possible. Those all things are within the boundary of the work of God reconciling us to himself. Do we see that? All things are of God who has what? Reconciled us to himself. So everything that is a product of faith is for to work reconciliation. God will not allow something to come to you that will take you far, you far from him. Hallelujah. Amen. So does that mean you can't get results? You know you can get results. People came to him and said, in your name, we did what? We did what? We cast out demons. In your name, we did what? Answer me now. We healed the sick and we did mighty works in your name. But what did he say to them? Depart ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. So meaning that the faith that is released from God for a man to use is for to make man depart from iniquity and not to work iniquity. Hallelujah. So that you are getting results does not mean you are using faith rightly. Are we together? Because faith is actually for life. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. So God is not using his power for any other thing. Did you see that? The power of God is being used for salvation to everyone who believes, to everyone who has faith. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is what? The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So faith is for the revelation of righteousness. Faith is not for covetousness. You see, when you have those nice blouse now, you say, I have faith for that blouse. That's covetousness. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are not careful, you start envying her. Are we together? Now that's a wrong use of faith. That's a what? It's a wrong use of faith. How to really use faith? To show that you have faith is to go and meet her. Mommy, this blouse is beautiful and perfect on you. And you go your way without thinking anything. Eh? Without thinking that, as I complimented her, she will just say, I saw them my feet on my yo. Let me give her. You understand? You know there's a way you can compliment somebody's shoe. The person will be, the person will say, let me just give him. As you this is your shoe, it's awesome. It's superb. The person pass again, the person is wondering again that, is it not just you? Hallelujah. There's a way you can do that complimenting that, you know, it can bring the thing to you. But that's not faith. Say that's not faith. That's not faith. That's cunningness. That's deception. Hallelujah. Amen. So in our memory track, reading from our manual, in our last study, we learned that faith is built on the name of Jesus Christ, and our understanding of the potency of this name depends on how effective the communication of our faith is. We also learned that the name of Jesus is the summation of God's provision for the new creation man. The name of Jesus is the means through which we access all the resources of God, which God, through Jesus, had provided for us at the new birth. Hallelujah. Welcome, Daddy, sir. That's my daddy, our K2 angel. Hallelujah. Angel of K2. All right, so we are looking at from faith to faith. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. By Sunday school, open your Bible. Ephesians 1 verse 15. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. Romans chapter 8 verse 30. Romans chapter 8 verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. So you see a transition. Can you see a journey? A journey from predestination to calling. A journey from calling to justification. A journey from justification to glorification. Hallelujah. So it means that faith is for a progressive walk. Hallelujah. So how to journey or how to close the gap, as we learned yesterday. You know, the Lord saying that as the heavens are far from the earth, so are my ways from your ways and my thoughts from your thoughts. How to close that gap is a walk of faith. Hallelujah. So faith is not just, I covet AC, I desire AC, I claim the AC, one horsepower, Hisense specifically, brand new from Fuwani. No. Hallelujah. So faith is for a progressive journey unto God. Hallelujah. He said, he that must come to God must first what? Believe. That's faith. Believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that diligent walk also is a walk of faith. Hallelujah. But in different cadres, as we learn this morning. So before new birth, we were dead in trespasses and sin, and we did not know what it meant to stand in faith or how to stand in faith. It's almost impossible for you to see an unbeliever and you expect them to have faith. They can have some sort of belief in their own ability, confidence. You understand? You know, you can see Agbero and say, "Go see God on my shell, not see, no go." That's not faith. Do you understand? Is not faith, because that aggradation is not towards God. It's self-aggradation. It's self-belief that not see they happen. You see somebody that they've already removed his fourth teeth. He's saying nothing, because nothing they happen. He believes that the remaining teeth will be fine. That's not faith. Do you understand? So you don't see that person and you're looking down on yourself. You are better than the person. You don't look at that person and say, see, an unbeliever, he has faith. He believes in himself. He's getting results. That you are getting results does not mean you are using faith. Is that established? Hallelujah. Alright, so the reason for man's inability to live, walk, and move by faith is sin and death. It incapacitated man to look up to God. So, a person who is dead, you know, I held the hand of a saint who went to be with the Lord. And I held the hand. And what I noticed was that the hand was not holding on to me. It was a very strange feeling. You know, when you hold someone, there's a way you feel the impulse of life. Do you understand? That as you held the person too, even though the person is not gripping your hand, the way you are gripping their hand. But when you hold the hand of someone who has passed on, there is no response. Do you understand? I was almost trying to use my two hands to hold the one hand together. So, he said, inability to respond to God is what we term as being dead. Hallelujah. But you know, somebody can even be alive. I just use that example to show lack of response. Somebody can be alive and the person is doing things. You know, innovator, breaking frontiers of science, achieving mind-blowing things, making you look like you don't serve a living God. You understand? But the person is dead. When they check heaven, you know, like our dad pastor was saying yesterday, that your life is supposed to fount, you know, and the fountain of your life is to write your name in heaven. Hallelujah. So they don't know him. But if you check Wikipedia, if you check Instagram, he's the most followed person. You know, somebody can be the most followed person on earth, but not one dominion in heaven knows him. They don't know him. So such a person cannot respond to God. Such a person is not using faith. So to solve this problem of sin and death, we were given faith. Hallelujah. God gave us faith as a cure to sin, from the least to the greatest. As we use faith to live, we are being cured from that disease that has ravaged many generations. Hallelujah. That's what? Ravaged many generations. Now, sin, like we said, you know, during the retreat, is not habit. Sin is not character. Sin is a person. A person who can dwell in another. Hallelujah. He said, it is, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, it is no longer I that do it. He said, if I do the things that I don't want to, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So that body was being inhabited by sin. Hallelujah. So how to cure it is a faith work. It's faith that does that work. Because it's faith that can make a man now begin to please God. You know, to the point where the Lord will look into that man and see a house made ready for him. Hallelujah. Amen. So we'll look at three stages of growth of a believer's life. I know many of us have been established in, you know, these teachings, but for the sake of, you know, anyone in the house who doesn't, would be looking at the three stages of the growth of a believer's life. The first is the milk faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 1 to 3. We're looking at milk faith. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For before now," that's what itato means, "before now," or prior to now, "you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you still able." You were not able to bear it before. Now you are still not able to bear the meat of the word. "For you are yet carnal." Yet carnal means you are still carnal. "Whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men?" So the milk faith is the beginning faith. Say that. The milk faith. Some of us are not responding. I have faith. Me, as I have faith that whether you respond or not, what heaven wants to do, heaven will do it. But let's respond. The milk faith is the beginning faith. Thank you. It is what trains a newborn babe to become a child that can be given meat, you know, to chew and feed from. The same way, you know, we've said it, the same way you will not, out of excitement that you are now finally a father of a bouncing baby boy, you go to Ileyon to go and buy Ileyon for the child. You can't give the child. The child can't bear it. Do you understand? What the child needs is milk. It is the beginning food, or it is the beginning life. Hallelujah. Because faith is life. It produces a spiritual background for a spiritual man. Hallelujah. It's what produces a what? A spiritual background or a spiritual template. You know, in Hebrews 6, it says that. Let's look at Hebrews 6. I want to quickly do this, so that we can progress into the actual teaching for today. He said, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ." This is milk. Milk is not the doctrine of Christ. Milk is what? The principle. Hallelujah. Just the same way, if you are going to learn about, if you are a science student, you want to learn about density. And density is defined as mass per unit volume. You need to know what mass is. Abi, basic science would have taught you what mass is. Basic science would have, even basic mathematics, you would have learned some things about volume. But you are not yet doing density. You are not yet solving questions on density. Do we understand? So, the principles of the doctrine of Christ. He said, "Living it, let us go on to perfection." Meaning that that place is not the place of perfection. It's a place of principle. They lay foundation. And these are the foundation. Repentance from dead works. Faith towards God. Doctrine of baptism. Laying on of hands. Resurrection of the dead. Eternal judgment. Hallelujah.
what all of these teachings, you know, if you probably are oblivious of teachings like this, you can, you know, visit the media or the website and begin to listen to Citra messages. You know, a lot of all of these principles have been dealt with. Hallelujah. What all of these will raise is a child. Do we understand? From a babe. From a babe to what? A child. Is a child of God. Hallelujah. So, one of the things that you will know about a child of God is that a child is a person who is full of the Holy Ghost. You can see that it's a very high standard. Full of wisdom and is of honest report. Are we together? It's full of what? Full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, full of honest report. It's a person that is honest. You know, Acts chapter 6 say, wherefore, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest reports, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. We can appoint over this business. What business did they appoint them on? They didn't appoint them on the business of word and prayer, to come and be leading prayer or teaching word. What did they appoint them? Business of serving tables, being able to distribute without preferential treatment. Have you heard this to say it? It's like, or you just see, you know, you're on the queue, you're the one serving food. You just see 3 of your classmates. You know, the meat normally you just take spoon. You are not using the spoon to check the sizable meat. So that when it lands on their plate and you give it, and say, my God, you are not honest. You have not drank milk. You understand? You don't need to have learned Christ to be able to be honest in that. No partialities. Scripture says, let love be without dissimulation. You are not, it's Yoruba. I beg. You know, will I now leave Yoruba people and now be, you know, will I leave my Igbo brethren and be, you know, Abba, you should understand now. Yes, and that understanding is the understanding of a carnal man. So what the milk faith will do is to deliver you from carnality. There should be no division, separation. Lucky brethren in the house, please wait behind. We have a meeting. A church that you are hearing that, there's problem. Do you understand? When you're hearing, Lucky brethren, please stay behind. We have a short meeting. We need to talk about things that pertain to Lucky brethren. Inside a church, when there's Lucky brethren, Ikorodu brethren, you know, and everybody, you know, we are doing parako. When is the day for celebration of the decaders of brethren? When you see the lace that Lucky brethren will wear, you know, that day will be a day of depression for people from Ikorodu. Somebody will be angry. I told us, let's not pick this Ankara. See what they are wearing. When they selected this Ankara, I didn't like it. That church is a carnal church. Do you understand? That's a church where they've not drank milk. Somebody was angry. Why did we pick this gele? Why? Because when the Lucky brethren enter, even their perfume from the door has changed the aura of the auditorium. You are just angry with yourself. You that in the mirror, when you look at yourself, you are saying, Omolodun toy. But when you go to church, you could not even look up. That's the work of carnality. That's not what church is for. Do we understand? So a person who has drank milk enough will not be carnal, will not be participating in envy, division, seditions. Are we together? So the next stage of the growth of a believer is the meat faith. Can we say meat? This is a faith that is designed to mature a child to become a man. Hallelujah. It will mature a child to become a man. That man, they call him a spiritual man. Are we together? A spiritual man. So a spiritual man is not a man that, you know, when they greet him, he replies in tongues. Say, good morning, sir. Shkabole fast kebana. Say, I'm just greeting. Say, interpret it as a greeting. That's not spirituality. Do you understand? That's not spirituality. People are having to interpret tongues to relate with you. It's not spirituality. A spiritual man is a person who has fed well on the meat, or the doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, the milk faith will help you to overcome carnality. What this faith will help you to overcome is the world. Hallelujah. It is what? The world. Now, the things that are in the world are what? Lust of what? The flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of these things are in the world. Somebody who has ate the meat of God's word will overcome the world. Hallelujah. You know, we are still, you know, many of us are still, maybe, you know, we say, we are still doing Christ. We are still learning Christ. That you have not overcome the world does not mean you are not on a journey to do that. Do we understand? So, it's a progressive walk. Say, it's a progressive walk. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. What did he say? He said, I am crucified with who? With Christ. Meaning that the way Jesus Christ was crucified, I am also crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that was liveth in me. Meaning, a person who is a spiritual man is a Christ man. Do we understand? He said, the life I now live in the flesh, that flesh is not lust of the flesh. That flesh is just the life I now live in the natural. Do you understand? Is what? I live it by what? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So you are now using the faith of the Son to live. Hallelujah. That is another level of growth. You will, by the time they are done with you, you would have overcome the world. Hallelujah. You would have done what? You would have overcome the world. But the world is not our only enemy. Hallelujah. There is somebody that designed the system of this world. So, our journey has not terminated. As a spiritual man, you can still fall. Do we understand? As a spiritual man, you can still fall. Fall because you can still be drawn. Do we understand? He said in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 6, I can't remember. He said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he said, you who are spiritual, he said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Meaning, if you are spiritual and you didn't use spirit of meekness, you can also be what? Can also be taken in the same fault. You understand? Maybe they say, this person committed a particular sin, which you have already overcome like 20 years ago. And I say, come on, just help us to help the brother. You know, I say, please, I need 5 brothers. All of you begin to read Psalm 18, 19, 21. Inside water. Soak cane in it. You understand? I want to flog out that nature. You have already, you are not behaving like a spiritual man. Do you understand? That's not the way a spiritual man will undo something. A spiritual man will undo things with meekness. Understanding that I was once like that. I can even fall if I am not meek. Do you understand? So a spiritual man is one who is jealous of salvation. When you want to undo matters, you are thinking of salvation. You are salvation minded. You are not just thinking of, I need to deal with this thing so that next time he will know that they don't behave like that in this church. You are thinking of salvation. Because wrath of God does not work the righteousness of God. The wrath of man, rather. The wrath of man does not what? Work the righteousness of God. How you can know a spiritual man is that a spiritual man is quick to hear, is slow to speak, and slow to rot. Hallelujah. A spiritual man is a charity man. Slow to anger. For a spiritual man to be new, Oma take time. Do you understand? When you say, that's me. Oma take a binu. And when I've said it, I've said my mind. I don't need to hold grudges. You are still carnal. You understand? That you have a short fuse is a sign that you are still carnal. Don't claim spirituality. Are we together? So we are looking at the next stage, which is the strong meat faith. You know, I said milk faith will help us to overcome carnality, right? Are we following me? Meat faith will help you to overcome the world. Now, strong meat faith. This is the faith in everlasting life. Can we say that? This is the faith in what? Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Romans 6:22. He said, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So a spiritual man is a man that has already been set free from the law of sin and death. By what? By the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So such a man is fruit, like we were taught yesterday, that fruit is what? Inward nature, inward configuration. The things that flows from within you are your fruit. So this man has a fruit unto holiness. That's the man who is now in strong meat. Do you understand? That's the man who is what? In strong meat. So that's, it's a life. It's a faith that helps us to walk in the life everlasting. Hallelujah. This is the faith that can bring down the dragon. Do we understand? So one brings down carnality. By the time they are done with you, you are no longer carnal. There is no envy. There is no strife. There is no malice. There is no sedition. Are we together? And then another one helps you to overcome the world, which is the meat faith. Then the strong meat faith will help you to overcome the dragon, the one that uses the world against you. Do you understand? It took the Lord Jesus, you know, to a very high mountain. And what did he show him? He showed him all the glories of this world, authorities and powers. And he said that all these things have been delivered unto me. So, apart from the world that you need to overcome, you have to overcome the one who the world has been delivered unto. You don't use milk faith to pull down the dragon. Hallelujah. What you use is the strong meat faith. So, let's not be presumptuous. You don't use milk faith to do what? To overcome dragon. You can't confess dragon down. You leave dragon down. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I beheld Satan, you know, fall down like what? That was not positive confession. Do you understand? By his life, Satan fell. Do you understand? His disciples came and they were saying, oh, they were rejoicing. The spirits are subject to us in your name. I cast out 35 demons. Ooh, 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 ooh. He said, don't rejoice in all these things. Rather rejoice that your names are written where? In heaven. Hallelujah. So he was not in their level. He doesn't rejoice. In fact, when Jesus cast out a demon or he healed somebody, he will say, don't do what? Don't tell anybody. The fact that you are still rejoicing, you go and display it on your WhatsApp status. Please make video of me. I want to cast out demon. He said, man of God, man of God. As you do like this, the whole church, about 35 chairs broke. Ushers are worried. Hey, how are we going to buy more chairs? And you know, power, man of God. Man of God. Power. Say, man of God, prophesy. Do you want me to prophesy? Do you want me to go deeper? Do you want me to go deeper? Was I with you yesterday? Was it not Papa Nakara you hate? Say, hey, man of God. That's nothing. Hallelujah. Familiar spirits can reveal that to you. If that is what is making you rejoice, you now did that one thing, you drop mine. You want to spoil the microphone of the church. Because you casted that or you predicted that somebody's boxer is red. You drop mic. Hallelujah. That will not pull down the dragon. In fact, you are an ambassador of the dragon. Because the dragon is a vaunter. So anyone that is vaunting, you may not have ID card, but you are working for him. Are we together? So, like I said, we just needed to establish those foundation, you know, but we can get more teachings on that. Like I said, visit the website, listen to Citra messages, read Kenneth Hagin books, like the book, Laying, Growing Up Spiritually, you know, defines all of these stages, the babyhood, the childhood state, you know, the matured man stage. Hallelujah. So the major theme of all of this faith, like I said earlier, is salvation. The milk faith is for salvation. Meat faith is for salvation. Strong meat faith is for salvation. Salvation is a life of overcoming. When you overcome carnality, you have been saved in a measure. When you overcome the world, you have been saved in a measure. When you overcome the dragon, you have been saved in a measure. In fact, you are nearing uttermost salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God is able to save us towards the uttermost. To save someone to the uttermost means that you save the person to the very, very end. It's a receiving the end of your faith. Meaning there's a beginning of your faith. There's somewhere around the middle of your faith. There's end of your faith, which is the salvation of what? Of your soul. So we are looking at hindrances to faith this morning. Say hindrances to faith. We need to run now because of our time. We are saved by grace and not of works. The salvation brought to us a right stand and the finished work of Christ. But for our faith to be effective, certain law must be obeyed. Say, certain law must be obeyed. I said, what changed the dynamics for you to have laws to obey, for faith to work, is that they say, have faith in God. Because they say, have faith in God, means that it must be by his own terms. Hallelujah. So, if not, your faith will be crippled. The following should be considered when we are exercising faith in the Lord Jesus. The law of love, number one. Hallelujah. Amen. Say the law of love. Let's display Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 while I read from the manual. All the promises of God which are in Christ are yea and amen. They have conditions attached to them. These conditions are the commandments of God which is summed up in love. If you are not walking in love, your faith is already crippled. Hallelujah. You know, in Love the Way to Victory, Papa Egan was talking about a woman who obtained her healing, the healing for her daughter, just by, you know, forgiving her mother-in-law and loving her mother-in-law. Her own access to authority is that she was able to, you know, let go of the ills. You know, mother-in-law and wife, there is something around it. And it's Satan that did that work. Hallelujah. So this was a woman who, her child was constantly afflicted. You know, and Papa Egan prayed for her. And then told her that when you come to a place where you begin to walk in love, you know, you will experience freedom for this. In fact, she came to a place where if she wants to see any sign or symptom, she takes authority and says, Satan, get thee out of here. Because I am what? Walking in love. Hallelujah. So love, as we see, is that for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. But faith which worketh by what? Some of us are not following. Faith which worketh by what? By love. So faith in the Lord Jesus works by love. Hallelujah. You cannot be walking in hatred and expect faith to work. In fact, that you are walking in hatred has already placed you in a point of great disadvantage. A place where hatred is flowing is a place where faith is crippled. Are we together? So love is like a wheel that keeps the voyage of faith going, and faith becomes ineffective when the law of love is disobeyed. You can't disobey the law of love and expect faith to work. Hallelujah. You can't what? You can't disobey the law of love. Love must, you know, love must be the foundation of your faith. Do we get that? A person who is not walking in love is not walking by faith. It's simple as that. If you are not walking in love, you are not... Now, like I said, you can be deceived because you are getting results. Eh? 1 Corinthians 13 talks about how that I can do this, I can do that. If charity is not there, or if love is not there, it profited me what? Nothing. Hallelujah. So you can actually get results. But those results, like our daddy was teaching yesterday, they are perishable. They are fleeting. They are passing away. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the other one, number two, hindrance to faith, is lack of forgiveness. Say lack of forgiveness. Lack of forgiveness. Forgiveness is vomiting the poisons of offense and hurt while unforgiveness is the weapon of the enemy that gives us a pseudo stand to justify ourselves and point accusing fingers to the other party. Hallelujah. You know, I read in Proverbs 18:19 said, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like bars of a castle. Hallelujah. You are offended. Your deliverance is a work, a great work. Eh? You know, some of us glory in offense. We glory in offense and we excuse our offense because of the character of the other person. As a believer, I have no right to be offended. Are you offended at me because I said that? Say, I have no right to be offended. You know, so I read somewhere, said bitterness or unforgiveness is like taking poison and expecting the other person to be feeling stomach pain. You understand? You mix rat poison inside something. And you are taking the indomie. You expect the result to happen in the life of the other person. No. You are the one who is taking poison. Now, if you are in unforgiveness, in fact, scripture says, when you stand praying, you know, somebody can use the scripture and say, okay, maybe when I stand praying, maybe I can lie down to pray. Let's give me that scripture. I think it's in Matthew or is it in Mark. When you stand praying, Mark 11, quickly, let's open our Bible. Mark 11:25. Can we read it together? When you stand praying, what is the next thing? Forgive. Somebody can say, Shebi, it's when I stand praying, I should forgive. I can sit down and pray, and with unforgiveness, I will still get a result. The stand there is stand in faith. When you stand in faith praying, what should you do? Forgive. If you have aught against any, that your heavenly Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. Hallelujah. May forgive you of your what? Of your trespasses. You know what unforgiveness does? Unforgiveness reminds the Lord of what you done. You know, like the master who called his servant to give account. And one of them was owing him a large amount, you know, that was deserving for him to put his family in prison. But the master did what? He forgave him of all his debts. And the same person now went out and saw somebody that was owing him just a fraction. And then held him by the jugular. James Bond held him by the neck and said, you will not escape. Somebody that has been forgiven, you know. You see that? Held him by the neck and then cast the person into prison. What did servant, they said, they came to tell him. Do you understand? Hallelujah. What I'm seeing there is that those are accusations. Pastor Ekele was saying, was it Pastor Ekele or Pastor Akogu, was saying that Satan will tempt you to do some, Pastor Ajani. He said, Satan will tempt you to do something. That he saw a vision of someone who, you know, was in hellfire. And the person, the demon that was tormenting the person, was the demon that tempted him on earth. The demon that tempted him to do the thing that he did, that finally landed him in hell, was the demon that was tormenting him. Stupid idiot. I tempted you to go and sleep with somebody's wife. You slept, you are a goat. Nonsense. It don't have sense. The same demon. The same demon. I followed you like this to bank vault. And I said, see the vault. You have been working in this bank for how many years? 4 years. How much do you have in your account? Nothing. You are just using your life to serve the bank. See money. Free money. Take money. You now took the money. God forbid. Dead by hanging. The demon will not come and welcome you. Welcome, sir. Hold you by the hand. And take Do you understand? Take and be the person bring it, because that's the way of spirit. They use those things as levelers, as accusation. They said concerning the accuser of the brethren, he accused them before the throne, day and night. They don't have any other work. So when you are falling into unforgiveness, they will go and report you. Say, hey, we need to forgive. No. And you know, God, his own principle is not forgive and remember. God does what? Forgive and forget. God actually, you know, God actually, we will see condemnation. I don't want to go too much in. God actually does forgive and forget. When he forgives you, he forgets what you did. So when you now stand in unforgiveness, there are people who have your case file. They will just carry it. You know, the good master, who he was not the one that dealt with the person. He said, to torment us. Abi, did he leave his seat? He didn't leave his seat. He left him to the hand of tormentors. So they are the ones that will carry your case file and torment you. So you have no right to be in unforgiveness as a child of God. It is the greatest hindrance to receive answers to our prayers. You can't be praying to a forgiving God and you be in unforgiveness. Holy walk. If they didn't say have faith in God, if they say maybe have faith in humanity or have faith in social media, you know your prayer will be answered, because they say social media never forgets. Social media never forgives. You think you do something, you know, you've uploaded it 25 years ago and social media have captured it. You now want to come out for governorship. You know, they used to pay some people, go and search out things. You think you have escaped. You are now talking as, you know, I love human beings, I love goats, I love dogs. They now go and bring a video from 25 years ago where you were killing a dog. If it is social media you are praying to, your prayers can be answered. Because social media is unforgiving. But you are praying to a forgiving God. You cannot stand in unforgiveness. There is no communication. Are we together? So we do ourselves more evil and no good when we don't forgive. It is good to know that when forgiving, we ought to forgive not according to human terms, but according to God's term. Like God. God's people are supposed to forgive and what? If you don't mind, difficult. Yeah. I can tell you that I can forgive, but I can never forget. You know, because there's a principle that says, once beaten is twice shy. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. How many times did they say they should fool you? 70 times. 70 times. 70 times. I don't know what must have moved Apostle Peter to go and say, Master, how many times will my brother offend me that I should forgive? Is it 7 times? How many times? Is it 7 times? Somebody, maybe it's Judas Iscariot that was dealing with him. No, you know, Judas Iscariot is a wonderful guy. Wonderful guy. And you know, he doesn't have stature. Peter didn't have stature of the Lord Jesus. Maybe the guy has dealt with him. He now went to meet the Lord. Master, how many times? The Lord now said, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. He heaved it up. Hallelujah. So you have no right. Who wants to even, except the person is an incarnate of Satan. How can you offend somebody 490 times in one day? In fact, that's more than the number of days in a year. You offend somebody, is not possible. So it means that because it is not possible, you should not be in unforgiveness. Simple as that. Number 3, disobedience to God's commandment. All of God's promises as conditions attached to them. And when we are in disobedience towards this condition, regardless of how much faith we have in us, and in the confession we make, we will not get result. Hallelujah. God specifically used 3 means to tell you not to marry that sister. He used spiritual authority. He appeared to you in a dream. He said his dream. You know people say, you know, my dream used to come to pass. But you now dream. He said, that's not a dream. That's when you now remember that dream is not the primary way of God leading us. You understand? Before, when they are teaching that dream is not the primary way, as a believer, it's inward witness. But you believe in your dream. Because the dream, they give you results. You now dreamt, and the Lord said, my son, this person that you are dying over is not your wife. You wake up from that dream and say, that's not the Lord. Because dream is weak. It's too weak. You know, you say, dream is by transactions, activities during the day. Is what made me dream. Maybe because I was talking to her before I slept. That's why I dreamt about her. The Lord now still sent witnesses to tell. Even the sister told you that, I don't feel the Lord, but I will follow you. You understand? You now marry the person. He said, I have faith. This marriage is working. I confess breakthrough. I confess abundance of life. I confess, you know, breakthrough against offenses. The guy, you know, scripture says that it's better to dwell at the rooftop than to dwell with a contentious woman. The contentious woman means, ejo agree. Olorun o se kini ko design papo. By the time she deals with you, you will choose rooftop. You'll be a rooftop MC. I know. You'll be a rooftop MC because you can't stay in the house with a contentious woman. By the time she deals with you, you'll be like the disciples say, it's better for not to marry. I think it's good for a man not to marry. Hallelujah. He said, if this is the way it is between a man and a contentious woman, that's how you understand. I was telling someone yesterday that it's better to learn from others' experience. He said, experience is the best teacher. You go and experience wrong marriage, it will teach you. But that teaching, it can mar you for life. Hallelujah. Because everything that God ordains, you are not the ordinator, if that's a word, of marriage. So you can't choose to do marriage on your own terms. If you try it, marriage will no longer tend towards salvation. Marriage is supposed to reveal the mystery between Christ and the church. If it's not revealing the mystery between Satan and his children, that's problem. Hallelujah. So some believers in Corinth, they fell sick and some of them died because they could not discern the Lord's body, which is an offshoot of their indulgence in the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. You know, we know that scripture. Hallelujah. The law of sowing and reaping still counts. Number 4. We are almost done. In exercising faith for prosperity, it is good that we understand that the law of sowing and reaping still what? The law of sowing and reaping still what? Scripture says it is more blessed to what? To give than to receive. If you are always a receiver, you will tend to want. Hallelujah. You are always a receiver. You don't need to receive instruction to give. You are just always thanking God. God, I thank you for this community of believers. People are walking in love in this house. I didn't have clothes. They gave me clothes. I didn't have food. They gave me food. Look at my account. Brimming with money. Solicitations from brethren. They were just loading my account. But you, no instruction to give. You are not out of the 20 shoes that they, you know, they donated shoes to you. 20. You don't have any. You just feel like, I need to go and design chef. Shurak. Shurak, let me a colleague back. Go shoes, you know. Let me call Rashid to come and help me design a shoe rack that can display all these 20 shoes. You see, that kind of person, we tend to want. Because it is more blessed to what? To give than to receive. When you stand in the place of giving, it reminds God of himself. Do you understand? It reminds God of what? Of himself. Say, for God so loved the world that he gave, not that he withhold it. Or took. You know, took his own. He's my only son. Is he your son? If you want to perish, you can perish. He's my only son. No, he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. So, a giver is one who reminds God of himself. He said, cast your bread, you know, upon what? Upon the waters. You shall find it afterwards. Many days. God giveth seed to the sower. Giveth what? seed to the sower. So the sower will always have seed. The sower will never lack seed. Instead, they give bread to the eater. Bread is to finish. You understand? But if you have seed, you can generate bread. Do you understand? He said, give a bread to the eater. Go down the chopper. They said, you must, before you even think, you've spent everything. You just, you know, you just spent everything on yourself. That's not a person who wants to go on to prosperity. So how you yield yourself to faith and not in that faith is to stand in the place of giving. Hallelujah. Give till you are given. Even your life, you can't hold it from God. He said, he that keepeth his life, he that is doing akagom with his life, will lose it. As you are keeping it in your hand, is inside Satan's hand. You see, hand that is akagom, that does not need to open, is Satan's hand. That's why you will lose it. But he that does what? Loses his life. Not loses his life to club. You go to club, go and drink. You now lost your life. That's not losing your life. That losing life is yielding your life to God. Your lifetime, you are spending it for God. You are redeeming time because the days are evil. That is a person that will find it. Find it where? It's in Christ. But you will see it. Hallelujah. You will find it. So the law of reaping, sowing and reaping is an everlasting ordinance. It is whatsoever a man soweth that he will what? He will reap. Number 5, believing God according to the measure of grace. It's important for us to state this one. You know, that we grow in faith. Many believers don't know that they are supposed to believe God according to the measure of faith available, especially in the area of finance. Hallelujah. You are earning 50,000. Your wife is earning 45,000. You understand? You now pass somewhere in your area. They start building an estate. And the estate, they say, starting at 35 million. Starting. That's starting, you know. First installment, 35 million. You're earning 50,000. Your wife is earning 45,000. You say, I have faith for this house. That's covet. What's what? Covetousness. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying that God can't give you that house. Do you understand? I'm not saying that house is too big for God to give you. But you should understand that you are supposed to stay within the measure of faith that you have. Eh? Your salary is 100,000. You are now saving up for iPhone 16 Pro Max. You are not walking in wisdom. That's not faith. iPhone 16 Pro Max. And you're earning 100,000. Your landlord will throw you out of the house. And hunger will max you out. Do you understand? You have to believe God according to the measure of grace that you have. It is either due to lack of knowledge of God's word, lack of sensitivity to the Holy Ghost, or covetousness or pride. We have to believe God according to the grace provided to us at every point in time. Daddy was teaching yesterday. He said, mind not high things. There's a way you can just be minding high things. You are angry that you are staying in Okoko Michael. You just want to move to Banana Island. Hallelujah. And that's what you are using your faith for. That's not the right way use of faith. Hallelujah. You have to believe God according to the measure of grace that you have. And when I say measure of grace, I'm not even talking about the fatness or the thinness of your bank account. No. It's not by how much you have. That's not what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. It's just the grace of life. And that is the grace of life. You know that this thing is not, I'm not there. Just thank you. I'm okay where I am. It's because scripture says godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. He said the life of a man does not consist in the abundance. But you want to possess things. But that's not your life. He said beware of what? Covetousness. It's no longer pride. You have no longer faith. You have moved from faith to covetousness. And covetousness is a strong sin. It's an idolatry. Hallelujah. Number 6. having a sense of guilt and condemnation. Say, having a sense of guilt and condemnation. Oh, God cannot hear me again. What I did is unforgiving. Ah, see the way I spoke to that sister. So when they say, lift up holy hands and let's worship the Lord, I can't lift up my hands. You know, this is not, it's not like this parable that Jesus was painting concerning the publican and the Pharisee. That's not it though. The publican was not, he was not condemned though. It was not condemnation. It was godly sorrow. Because if it was condemnation, he would not even enter the temple. Do you understand? He was in godly sorrow. The kind of sorrow that works repentance. He said, God, I'm not able. I'm not even worthy. But I'm here. You understand? Even though I know I'm not worthy, but I'm here to ask that you help me. The scripture says that man left more justified. But there is an extreme side. A sorrow that is of the world. That makes you think that God has been keeping a track record. Immediately you are coming like this. You say, oh yeah, Lord, my big file, Daddy. Angels are just loading files. All the things you've been doing for 35 years. So he wants to come and ask for another thing. Go and bring out his files. Let's look at all his case files. No, God forgets all of that. So you must not allow condemnation to prevent you from. The scripture said in the book of 1 John, he said, if your heart condemns you, what God is what? Greater than your heart. He said, if your heart does not condemn you, then you have confidence towards God. Hallelujah. So Satan will make sure that you sin, and then we kill you with condemnation. That's the thing. Make sure that you sin and kills you. Imagine he tempts you. You know, you could not hold yourself. You now committed fornication. The demon that will torment you is sitting there. He said, you are a dead man. He will quote scripture for you. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the living God? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You've committed sin. Do you understand? It that defies the temple of God, God will destroy. Ah! You cannot get up from that bed again. You are done for. I'm not validating fornication. Fornication is actually indeed a great sin. Because it's a sin against your own body. But God does not condemn. Hallelujah! God is a what? God is a savior. If God gives you Coca-Cola, it is with the intent that he wants to save you. If Satan gives you Coca-Cola, he wants to kill you with diabetes. Are we together? So, a lot of believers, they don't know that their sins have been forgiven. Even when they know, pride and arrogance out of ignorance makes it hard for them to forgive themselves. You know, that thing that you are not forgiving yourself is pride. Because you think God is like, you want to bring God down to your level. You don't need to forgive and forget. So when you sin against God, you think God will not forget. Like, oh, I can't forgive myself. Even though my brethren are forgiving me, I can't forgive myself. I'm a sinner. I'm a this. You can't approach God. You are a proud person. God has forgiven you. Come out of your pride. Do we understand? It is out of pride and arrogance by ignorance of God's word. So a believer feels embarrassed and spiritually inferior to come into God's presence. Because you abused your boss in the office yesterday, you can't come to church on Sunday. Something is wrong. Hallelujah. Not that it's good to abuse your boss. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. Ask your boss for forgiveness. Come to church for washing. Hallelujah. It is not those who are healthy that comes to hospital. To hospital. It is also not those who are healthy that comes to church. It's those who want to be washed by the washing of the water of the word till they are what? Spotless. Hallelujah. So God does two things for a believer who may have sinned. First, when the believer confesses his sin, the Lord forgives him. Second, the Bible says God also cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He is made righteous again because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah! When you stay in condemnation that leads to people commit suicide because of condemnation. It's a wicked spirit. You now write letter. Letter that you didn't write to your parents normally to tell them that you love them. Now write long letter. I go and take sniper. Hallelujah. It's condemnation. I've lost a friend, a colleague from school who, you know, he went to borrow money from all these quick bets, quick something, quick cash, M cash, zero cash, O cash. They were now publicizing his name everywhere. The guy has a thriving business, tailoring, has machines, has people working for him. He could not, out of condemnation, because he just got married. And he was not thinking that, you know, people that he married, you know, the family of his wife will be thinking, that's part of the content of the thing. The family of his wife will be thinking that he went to borrow money to do the wedding. That condemnation made him to drink sniper. You see that thing? It's Satan. Hallelujah. Not that, yes, he may have walked out of unbelief by going to go and be borrowing money up and down from all these, you know, loan sharks. Loan sharks that you borrow money for them, the next 2 weeks, if you don't pay, you see your obituary on the road. Because you owe them money. They will be sending curses to your boss. Yes, it's not an act of faith. But that you have done that, try to seek help. Hallelujah. Ask God for forgiveness. Then seek help. It was, you know, many of his friends who were just angry. He should have just talked. We would have rallied around, cleared off the loan, and, you know, encouraged him. Go and don't borrow money from these people. But he went to drink sniper. And that's the end. Hallelujah. So, sense of guilt and condemnation is not from the Lord. Say, it's not from the Lord. God doesn't condemn. He cleanses from sin, he forgives, and he forgets. But it's not a validation to continue in sin. Because if we continue in sin, grace will not abound. Even though God is a forgiving God, he doesn't release grace for sin. Hallelujah. Number 7, we're almost done. Second to the last. Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what God says and lack of knowledge of our redemption, you know, in Christ Jesus are reasons for unbelief. You cannot believe beyond the knowledge of God's word that you have. That one is, I think we've established that from the very first day. Beyond the knowledge of God's word that you have, you can't believe. You are in a situation where scripture only, Pastor Lady Manko, you know, Zabakuk, Zapta. There's no Bible, there's no book called Zabakuk. Hallelujah. So you can't believe God beyond the knowledge of God's word that you have. Hallelujah. We must understand that we are a new creation whom God has forgiven our sins and we have a new stand with God. You must know these things. You must know your authority in Christ. Those are the things that we established prior to now. You know, the story of Papa Egin and, you know, and the Lord Jesus. Jesus was talking to him. A demon was disturbing him. The reason Jesus did not even cast out the demon, because he and the demon, they are not in the same realm. The demon is not disturbing him because Jesus kept on talking. It was Egin that was not hearing. There's the disturbance is in Papa Egin's realm. Jesus kept on talking. The demon was not stopping Jesus from talking, but Papa Egin was not hearing Jesus clearly. And Jesus kept on talking because he had given him the right. He said, why didn't you cast this demon out? He said, I have given you the power. He said, I can't. I have no business. Even if I try to, he's not in my realm. That's an eternal person. Kilo con demon, eternal person. Hallelujah. So if you don't know your redemptive right and authority in Christ, demons will mess you up. So you need to have knowledge to be able to use faith well. Are we together? You know, today your car tire spoil, tomorrow alternator spoil, tomorrow it is dealing. The Lord is taking me through the wilderness of sin. No. You lay hands on that car and say, this car, you will not become an Agbana. What did I say? Agbana. Do you know what Agbana is? Agbana is a devourer. The money that I'm supposed to use, I come to church, no offering in my pocket because I've used money to fix car. That's wrong. Are we together? You can take authority. Your child is always falling sick. Every month, at a particular time in the month, you are going to hospital. You are going to, when the nurses see you, too strong. They know you. Your hospital card, they don't need to check it. They will not check your hospital card. They know your hospital number. No. You should, if for adventure you go to hospital, let them be looking for your file. Because, what's it there? Yes, eh? If for adventure, let them be just be looking for your file. Can't find your file. Are you sure you are? Yeah. But they already know your case number. They know your file number. No. You should take authority. Because sickness is not from the Lord. Number 8, doubt and unbelief. The greatest enemy of faith is doubt. Doubt will always hinder the believer from receiving God's best. Jesus had so much to say about doubt and unbelief, and how it ravages one's faith. He could not heal many who were sick in his hometown because of unbelief. Not that he did not try to. Imagine the Lord Jesus, who had authority over all manner of sickness. he could not heal many in Nazareth because of unbelief. Unbelief. Lack of discernment. Jesus will often isolate the sick person from the crowd to heal them because of the crowd's unbelief. We often create a wrong atmosphere when we accommodate wrong thoughts, which result in wrong belief and end in wrong confession. This is the reason why we must endeavor to stay in God's word. Hallelujah. Don't research your sickness, your problem. What does it mean for the ear of a child to swell and his body is hot and then the leg is paining him? You can type that on Google. By the time AI will respond to you, it will tell you that it's a sign of psychosis that is going to ultimately death. They will not bold the death. They will bold it. Ha! Huh? You now start thinking, Jesus, how this child is going to die. You see, that confession, that's what Satan wants. He will carry the fire like this. He has already said it. Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Hallelujah. Don't be researching sickness. Focus on God's word. Say, focus on God's word. Love Bible. More than Google. You know, Google. Google is another heist. To give you another heist. Let's say Google. Which Google? Satan's Google. Satan's what? Google. What does it mean for the leg of a child to be paining and then he's having a headache at the same time? Go and check it on Google. It will fetch you things. Have you checked Google? And Google will give you scriptural backing for the sickness. Never. Never. No scriptural backing. It will only tell you that medically, this is a sign that requires medical emergency. Take the child to the hospital immediately. See a physician immediately. Fear. And then the atmosphere is filled with unbelief. In that kind of atmosphere, faith may not work. Hallelujah. Number 9, evil reports. A source of doubt and unbelief. That's what we just talked about now. They are generated when we take our eyes off God's word and consider the mountain, listen to our senses, or draw conclusion from this source. The senses are a gateway through which evil report filters the heart. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she had enough medical reports concerning her health status. She has been told that the disease was incurable, but she refused to believe it. She believed to a point that she knows that I don't need to go and hug the Lord Jesus. If I can touch the hem of his garment. That was a woman with a lot of, you know, the people have said a lot of things. Physicians have said a lot of things. That this thing you have been going through, you know, there's a way somebody can go through a sickness, you accept it. You say, for 12 years. 12 years. That's a lot. That's a lot of time, you know, to have an issue of blood. But she refused to accept that report. She refused to be like the spies, you know, the 10 other spies, you know, who had a wrong spirit and said that, yes, so the land is flowing with milk and honey, but the people there are giants. They will divorce. She refused and she had another spirit, like the spirit of Joshua and Caleb, that says, let us go now to possess the land. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. You know, we will not just listen to this series and excite ourselves. It is for life. Faith is for living. Hallelujah. Faith is for what? It's for living. Can we begin to appreciate God this morning? We begin to bless the name of the Lord.
Let's appreciate God. Let's thank Him. Father, we thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I believe that we need to continue to hear these things over and over and over and over and over again so that, you know, our faith will grow and we'll be able to release our faith. Hallelujah. You know, there is so much head knowledge. You can know a lot of things, but if you have not really exercised yourself in those things, you will just have it in your head. And in your hearts, it won't be a reality to you. And that is one of the things that the Lord, you know, keep on, you know, bringing forth most of these things over and over and over again. We are still going to teach it again. Hallelujah. We are still going to teach us faith again. Because it has to be taught consistently for it to stick, for it to become a life inside of us. We are not just meant to just do Sunday school because it's a routine. is meant to, you know, to culture our life and to begin to instruct us in life. Hallelujah. I just want to emphasize one or two things that our teacher have said. You know, today we are talking about hindrances to faith, things that hinder us, that is not making us to be able to exercise our faith. And so much emphasis was placed on, you know, all those things. You know, when it began with who is a spiritual man, and a lot of things were said about that. You know, let's open to 1 Corinthians 13. It will help us, especially for young people, to understand when you say a spiritual man. You know, there is a sense we understand a spiritual man to be someone that prays the Lord, that speaks in tongues, someone that can be on the road, will just be speaking in tongues, and when you greet him, he will greet you with tongues and things like that. And you know, you just, there is this face you see, person's face is always serious, it's always dedicated like that. And it begins to, you know, to, I remember when in school, we had some guys, you know, they can pray lots and things like that. And then, they're just coming up, I didn't really know much. So, you know, that brother, he prays, as in, if this brother is praying like this, everywhere he's shaking. Ha! Fear will grip your heart. I'm not a spiritual person. You know, not until God helped me, I begin to understand again. You know, I now stayed with this brother. I discovered that this guy had a lot of fears. When we are talking, like, he has fear for future. He has fear for so many things. I will now say, boy, you are the one that was praying the other day. He said, forget that one. You don't understand. I now discovered that it's not about praying long prayers and all those spiritual gymnastics. It's a life. Hallelujah. You know, if we read 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about all the charity, who a spiritual man is not. If you read from verse 1 to 3, you know, all the things there. If you look at somebody that speak with tongues of men and angels, is that not a spiritual man? That should be a spiritual man, but it says no. But a spiritual man starts from chapter 4. Say, charity suffereth long and is kind. Hallelujah. You know, there was one day, pastor was teaching us and was saying, it's not easy for you to be suffering and be kind. Hallelujah. If you want to know your true nature, it is your reaction when you are under pressure. When you are pressed and you still do kindness, that means you are a spiritual man. Hallelujah. But when you are under pressure, you know, that is when we know who you are. It's not when everything is just fine. You know, you can, no problem, you are fine. But when you are angry, when something, you know, you are waiting for somebody, you've agreed 8 o'clock, we are leaving by 8. And 8:30, depending, you call the person, say, change it to Looney. Your head will just, and you know that you have to leave at that. You know, the way you will talk, that's when we'll know what is inside of you. Hallelujah. So, you know, when you read all those things, that's when you now know that, you know, being spiritual goes beyond all the spiritual, all the pseudo things we do that we think is spiritual. It's a life. It's a culturing. It's something that God needs to work inside of us. And that's why we need a lot of faith. Hallelujah. We need a lot of spirit to do most of the things that is being demanded of us. Hallelujah. You know, in one of the hindrances to faith, a mention was made of sowing and reaping. I want to talk about that. And the reason why I want to talk about that is because Satan cheats us in that area a lot, especially those who are in the world of righteousness. And the reason is because our pastors will never mention things like that. They rarely talk about it. Maybe once in a while, they just mention it in passing and they drop it. And we all feel, everybody just come to church. Church is running. AC is blowing. Generator is running. Everything. Church is looking fine. And you just come, you sit down, you do whatever you do, you go. And when they talk, things retreat so towards it. It goes through your head. A season of the spirit, so towards it. It goes through your head. Convention. Those things don't even matter to you. And then you now say, I'm not growing. I'm not growing. I don't feel I'm growing. You can't grow. Because all the requirements of your growth, you just neglect them. Because God cannot even instruct you about your finance. God cannot instruct you about the money, your substance that you have. Even that little that you have. Hallelujah. It's very, very important. I'm not lying to you. At least I've been in EGFM since 2011 up to now. And I've seen people, I noticed that people that give very well, they grow. Hallelujah. They grow spiritually. I'm not talking of they grow spiritually, they grow in the natural. God blesses them. You see people, you just see them moving. You know, you just see things happening in their life. It's a spiritual principle. And I want us to take that to heart. It's very, very important. Sometimes we just feel like they don't matter. They matter a lot. They matter a lot. And Satan cheats us at those junctions. And you just feel it doesn't matter because we don't talk about it. Okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I will say something today because there is grace to say it. Hallelujah. You can never, never, never do well in the faith. I'm telling you because little children and us also adults. Because when you look at the people that actually give within, say, a church, you know them. You know, it's surprising how this Pareto principle, 20% responsible for 80% of the giving. The same thing is applicable in church. That virtually, you know the people that give. And you know, we're not saying because the church needs your money. But you see it also in the life. You see it also in the life. You see it in appreciation and growth. Hallelujah. Now, a person earns 500,000 naira. And you ask him, what did you give conversion? He said 10,000 naira. 10,000. 10,000. 10,000. If they ask some of us, how much do you give for offering? Some people don't even remember offering. They don't even remember offering. Some people, it is by force that they pay tithe, let alone sowing. Every farmer knows that you reserve your best seed to plant. You don't eat it. It is the best one you save because that is what will guarantee your sustainability. That is what secures your future. You reserve your best to plant, not to eat. Now, if you eat your best seed, you will starve in the next season. You will starve. You will suffer lack. God's work will run whether you give or not. Are you understanding it? And God doesn't need your seed. He's asking you for your own soul. For your own soul. If you think you don't have, you see, these things were taught us when since very little. Very little. You will carry your, you don't say you don't have. If it means you take, the principle is not the quantity, it's the value to you. I remember the times that Reverend first came to school then. Reverend Kayode, the first encounter came to school, 2006. That's almost 20 years now. He came, as a young, daddy wasn't giving us money. It was old ties. Because I believe I was a pastor. So I just got some 300 naira tie. About two or three of them. The weekend before daddy came. So I didn't have any money. That it was the ties that I carried and sold. I carry the tithes because those were like the most precious things to me there. Carry the tithe, go and sow. Now, it's not about the thing, it's about that you are giving something. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm giving what is precious and valuable to me because I've seen another value. I've seen another value. And that culture is sustained. Some of us, we've never, you know, I was called this morning and they instructed that Reverend Mommy Ellen had to ask that we should announce concerning the sisters meeting and men become that people should give. And I found it, for me, announcing it sounded grievous because that means that a culture has not been formed. What will make us to deliberately be instructing that people should give is that people have not learned to take hold of opportunities like this. And then give, cast their seed for value of spiritual things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because if we are not taught and taught well, let them say all the revelation, it will never prosper our soul. Yesterday night I was having to tell the teens how the Lord said we should collect offering, even from teens. Not because of anything, but it's a principle. If you don't start doing it now, You can never appreciate in spiritual things. Galatians chapter 6. I don't know whether I should take it. But this, I feel impressed to say something. I'm sorry. God doesn't need your miserable money. Are you understand what I'm saying? God doesn't what? Say, God doesn't need my miserable money. Yes. Yes. He said, when you come to pay your tithe, say a miserable Assyrian was my father, ready to perish. God is not asking you to give because he wants to collect from you. It's because he wants to save you. He wants to give you something better than money. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, the notion, you see, don't join all those people on media telling you that pastor is collecting from you. You will suffer. Not only suffer lack, you will suffer, you will perish in your soul. Corruption will take hold of you. Be deliberate and be. Some of the people that you see, if they tell you the proportion of what comes to them that goes out, you'll be shocked. Some is not even 50%, it's not 60%. Some is close to 70-80% of everything that comes to them that actually goes out, that is not expended on them. God will not allow them to say about it. Because it is not, unless for seasons like this, when God gives permission to say. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But you can never, say you can never. You can never prosper. Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man soweth, that he shall reap. For if a man sows to the flesh, he shall what? Of the flesh, reap corruption. But he that soweth what? Shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. You can never prosper beyond your giving. I'm not saying that, until you, the person that gives a million, the millionaire will prosper more. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the value to you. The woman that gave a widow's mite, Bible says that these people that cast in abundance, out of their mouth they have cast out. He said, but she has given all her living. So it's not about in this church they are saying that we that don't have money. You can give 10 million and God say you have not given anything. Are you understand? And somebody give 1,000 naira and God say, this seed is your blood. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you must learn the culture of how to seed corruptible for incorruption. You must look at opportunities. The reason you save, the reason you don't eat everything is to identify opportunities to sow. Are you understanding it? The reason you don't eat everything is that you identify sowing opportunities. When opportunities come to cast seed, there is seed to sow. Then the Bible says, when you cast your bread upon many waters, after a while, it will come about again. He said, give a portion to six, give a portion to seven. But because you do not know whether shall profit, either this or that, whether they both alike shall be alike good. Are you understanding what I'm saying? No, it's a culture that we must learn. So now I just overlook it because that's not the focus of whether you give or not. The word will continue. Those that understand. But I have seen, I have watched. And it's not just because I'm looking. Even Jesus sat at the treasury and was looking at how people were giving. Jesus sat at the treasury. So he said, this church, they are looking at what? Jesus did it. And he was teaching his disciples the principle. He said that, look at. Jesus was not interested in money. He was not money conscious. But he needed to teach principles of life surrounding the use of giving and receiving. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, he said that concerning giving and receiving, I don't need to instruct you. So giving and receiving is actually something that Jesus taught. Acts chapter 20, Jesus taught Paul that it is more blessed. Jesus was the one that taught Paul. So don't say, this is what a righteous person says. I came here because they don't give too much. They don't talk about money too much. When you are walking in righteousness, that's when you give more. Somebody was telling me some time ago, he said, I didn't know that in Word of Righteousness they used to talk about giving. I said, Olodunye. If you think that you came here because you want to run away from people that give, it's a spiritual principle. Disobey it to your detriment. Disobey it to your detriment. Disobey it to your detriment. Are you understanding it? I'm saying it not because, but you can't prosper. You won't prosper in the spirit. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So what you treasure in your heart, if you want your heart to be in the things of the Lord, put your treasure in the things of the Lord. That's it. It's a principle. It's a principle. But you put your treasures in stocks. You put your treasure in crypto. That's where all your treasure. Then you say your heart will go in Word of Righteousness. You go lie possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. Because your heart will be following stock markets. It will be rising and falling with stock market. It will be rising and falling with crypto. You have hypertension. As what the economy is going up and down, that's the BP go kill you. Sincerely. Learn wisdom. It will not be only a few people that will be prospering, that will make progress, that will excel in life. I've seen it. I just shake my head. The people that are close to me, I say, guy, I wish these things, the eyes of everybody can open, and then they will see. In your bank account, I'm sorry, I'm not against saving. You should save. In your bank account, you have 6 million. They are calling for seed. You put 5,000 naira. They are calling for seed. You put 5,000 naira. I'm not your Lord. It is between you and your Lord. But what I have learned of the Lord is that if you give to the Lord what doesn't cost you, David said, I will not give to God. It's about what is the value of what I am giving to God, to me. To me. The value of what I am giving to God, to me. If it's not costly, then you are not really, really making progress in life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'll say this lastly. What do you sow into? The things that promote life. I was saying it today. We gathered almost 100 things over the weekend. 4 days. Spent a whole lot of money. We didn't collect anything from them. I said, let's sow into this. You are investing into the lives of this one. They are teaching them word of life. Put seed there to promote the giving of life. If there were more resources, I was telling you, if there were more resources, there were more things on the street that we could have publicized, that more people could have come. Those things are investments into life. They are receiving things, incorruptible life. We are not collecting any money from them. The sisters meeting over and over, all through the year, there are conventions where the truth of God's life is being taught. Those are life investments to invest in the lives. First, propagation of the gospel, investment in the things of God, investment in the lives of people. They are charity commandments. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We must be wise investors in the spirit. When I say investors, we must know how to sow. Bible says, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, he that gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So when the things that come to you is both seed and bread, know the difference. Know how to separate the seed from the bread. If you eat your seed, you will suffer. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When I mean you suffer, you suffer leanness first in your soul, then you suffer scarcity in your hand. He said, he that giveth seed to the sower and bread to the eater, both what? Bless your seed so. So, give me 2 Corinthians chapter 9 quickly. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at. He said, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister what? Bread for your seed or food, and multiply your seed sown and increase what? The fruit of your righteousness. So you must divide between bread and seed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you don't know these things, yes, there are charlatans outside there that wants to collect everything for just to rob you. But God forbid that it's here. Are you understanding it? God forbid that it is here. But the same principle works. The same what? God may not give us permission to talk about it in another 3, 4, 5 years. But blessed are you if you know it, if you keep it, if you obey it, and if you make it a culture of your life. Beacon Convention is coming. Global Beacon is coming. We have these are opportunities. Look, apart from personally, as a church, we sow. As a church, as church from church, we sow into other ministries, into meetings, into ministers' lives. Because it is a principle. If you don't do it, you will suffer. You suffer as a church. Then you are saying, enough is enough. A word is enough for the wise. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes,
save yourself, save your destiny. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Lord will bless us in Jesus' name.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.